The views and opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of WEFT-FM, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the Weft Associates. And now here is this week's edition of IMC Radio News.
Why do we produce the IMC Radio News?
Because the chasm isn't left to right. It's top to bottom.
To give voice to people who aren't heard.
To bust up the myth of objective journalism.
Bill O'Reilly does not have a monopoly on the truth.
To build our community and re-educate the public.
To revive the voice of organized labor.
To bring forth debate so as to animate democracy.
Because I want to agitate for revolution.
Listen to the voices of your community on IMC Radio News.
This week on IMC Radio News, the city of Urbana offers domestic partner benefits to same-sex partners. But first, these headlines.
Members of the West Urbana Neighborhood Association, the East Urbana Neighborhood Association, and the Prairie Greens have gathered signatures to request that the Urbana City Council reject the proposed plot of the Walton subdivision, which is at the intersection of Route 150 and Highcross Road in Urbana, which would clear the way for the creation of a 75-acre big-box development with a major chain, Walmart, anchoring the development. In the hearings before the planning board, serious concerns were raised by members of the board and the public as to drainage, traffic, light, and other problems that can together be reason to reject the platting. The petition also asked that the city council act to its best ability to rezone the locale in a way that is more consistent with infill of existing commercial areas. The opponents are encouraging concerned citizens to attend the city council meeting on Tuesday, January 20th at 7:30 p.m. at the city building. The item has been placed last on the agenda after the vote on benefits for same-sex partners, which is a topic that is featured during the remainder of this IMC Radio News. Interested parties can take action by appearing at the City Council meeting tomorrow. Urbana residents are also encouraged to contact your City Council representative. Your representative's contact information is available at www.city.urbana.il.us and clicking on City by Function and then City Council. Urbana-Champaign will be home to a new community radio station by June 19, 2005, if all goes as planned. The station, with call letters WRFU, will operate on 104.5 FM with a power of 100 watts. This low-power FM station will potentially reach all of Urbana and most of Champaign if the goal of having the physical station located in downtown Urbana is met. The station is currently licensed through the FCC to the Socialist Forum, which also holds the construction permit, according to Mike Lehman, one of the organizers. The Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center will be the operating partner. A broadcasting board consisting of members of both the Socialist Forum and the IMC will be constituted to organize day-to-day operations at the station, which will be handled by volunteer members from both groups. FCC regulations mandate that the station be on the air within 18 months of issuing the license. This means that WRFU will need to be on the air by June 19, 2005. The kickoff meeting is to organize this station and is being held tomorrow, Tuesday, January 20th, at the IMC at 218 West Main Street in downtown Urbana at 7:30 p.m. Anyone interested in operations or in programming is invited to attend. According to the organizers, WRFU, W Radio Free Urbana, will, in concept, operate much like Champaign's premier community radio station, WEFT 90.1 FM, although the two stations are completely independent from each other. The aim of WRFU is to complement the programming offered on WEFT so that the community will have twice the airtime at its disposal at very little extra cost. The low-power nature of WRFU means that the cost of operating it will be minimal once it is built and on the air. WRFU hopes to expand public affairs programming in the community while also having plenty of time for a diverse selection of music that is intended to break out of the mold of stale, repetitive commercial broadcasting. Since the studio will be located at the IMC facilities will be available for news gathering and media production. There is also intention for the broadcasting of live shows and events on WRFU directly from the IMC. Again, the date and time for the kickoff meeting is tomorrow, Tuesday, January 20th at 7:30 p.m. at the IMC. Four members of the Prairie Greens, a local affiliate of the Illinois Green Party, will have their day in court this coming Wednesday. The suit that they filed stems from a decision by the county clerk, Mark Sheldon, who refused to accept petitions to place the Green candidates on the ballot for the March 16th primary election. Mark Sheldon is bound by the Illinois State Board of Election Code. The plaintiffs and their attorney, Dale Straw, believe that Sheldon has violated this code. Ken Urban, Al Weiss, John Paul Schmidt, and Jennifer Walling each submitted petitions on December 15th to run for the Green Party precinct committeeman in Champaign County. Urban also submitted petitions to stand in the primary election as a Green Party candidate for county board in District 7. County Clerk Mark Sheldon rejected the petitions, arguing that the Green Party is not established in Champaign County. The candidates counter that the 2002 congressional candidacy of Carl Estabrook established the party at the county level. Although he was running for a statewide seat in Champaign County, Estabrook earned 8.7% of the vote, far more than the established party threshold of 5% as mandated by the Illinois Board of Elections Code. The legal question revolves around whether a congressional campaign can establish a party at the county level. If the Green Party is an established party, as the Prairie Greens claim, they will, according to Ken Urban, be able to slate candidates at all levels of county government without having to go through the process of acquiring thousands of signatures and other impediments such as having to run a full slate of candidates in order to have any candidates on the ballot. The bench trial will be heard this coming Wednesday in the Sixth Circuit Court. County board elections will take place in November of this year. Four local small-town weekly newspapers have been acquired by the News Gazette of Champaign. The papers are the Rantoul Press, the Piatt County Journal-Republican of Monticello, the Gibson City Courier, and CR Target. These papers were all once locally owned, and all except the CR Target were established in the 1800s. In the 1990s, all were acquired by a company called East Central Communications. East Central Communications has been a division of Pennsylvania-based Trinity Holdings. This move brings the papers back into local ownership. John Foreman of the News Gazette said the papers will retain their names, offices, staffs, and identities, and will operate as largely independent divisions of the News Gazette Incorporated. He also says, quote, "This is the very logical merger of two fine printing and publishing companies. We're very excited about what it will mean for our company, for these communities, and for all of our customers. These quality properties are a perfect complement to our existing business and our goals for the future." J. Michael Martin, the News Gazette's CFO, said in a press release that the transaction is a strategic acquisition. He states, "This perfectly fits in our long-term plan to grow and develop our printing and publishing franchise in East Central Illinois. This is a long-term commitment to our future growth and continued independence. Everyone involved should benefit from the results." Other current company divisions include the County Star, which is a weekly newspaper published in Champaign County, and a direct mail division called Direct Impressions. The News Gazette Incorporated also owns radio stations WDWS AM and WHMS FM Light Rock 97.5. In related news, the News Gazette reported last week that it has sold Prairie Production Group, which is a video production company that has a staff of six and offers production training, educational and marketing videos, and commercials to a variety of customers, including State Farm and the U.S. Geological Survey. The company was sold to General Manager J. Steve Martin. The Independent Media Center celebrates 3 years of independent media in Urbana-Champaign tonight, January 19th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Independent Media Center at 218 West Main in Urbana with live music, free food, and good company. The public is invited to come to the party and celebrate what has been accomplished and learn what is coming up on the horizon and how they can get involved at the UC-IMC. Members of all of the UC-IMC's working groups will be present to answer any questions about how community members can get involved with producing independent radio, video, and print news, as well as how they can become involved in promoting local music shows, conduct art shows in the Middle Room Gallery, and help to develop the UC-IMC library. This party will kick off the UC-IMC's fourth year, which promises to be a challenging and exciting one. The UC-IMC's efforts to purchase their own building now has, due to generous donations to the capital campaign, more than $50,000 in the bank. Again, the party is tonight from 6:30 to 8:30 at 218 West Main in Urbana. This is Sandra Otten with the headlines for IMC Radio News.
The man is stepped up to the microphone and he gave it a kiss. It was a big, wet, slippery kiss, and he had sweat dripping off of his nose onto the windscreen. As he looked out over the audience, he said, God bless you, and all. Then he took a can of Ron's lighter fluid and he squirted it over the top of his head, proceeded to light himself on fire. And he stood there glowing and said, remember this day.
IMC reporter Andine Gross brings us the following story on the extension of benefits to same-sex partners by the City of Urbana.
On Monday, January 12, 2004, the Urbana City Council voted 6-0 to give preliminary approval for an ordinance for domestic partner benefits. Ruth Wyman, City Council member, researched and initiated this. Bruce Walden, Chief Administrative Officer, and Mona Shannon, Personnel Manager, wrote the ordinance. The final vote will be Tuesday, January 20th at 7:30 p.m. at 400 South Vine Street. Bruce Walden, what domestic partner benefits does this ordinance provide?
Okay, well, what we're trying to do is somewhat focused, but we're trying to provide to same-sex domestic partners the same benefits that they would enjoy if they were otherwise married in the state of Illinois. As you know, the state of Illinois prohibits same-sex partner marriages. Therefore, we can't extend the same benefits as would be the case in that scenario. So the focus of what we're trying to do is to provide benefits as they relate to bereavement leave, as they relate to sick time, as they relate to naming a beneficiary on an insurance policy, and those types of things. Family medical leave is very important. And what we're trying to do is to look at those benefits that are extended. Spouses who are married in the state of Illinois and extend the same benefits to same-sex domestic partners. Now, let me say right up front that that doesn't cover 100% of everything that could be possible. For example, some locations may provide health care benefits, for example. At the City of Urbana, we have a situation where the health care benefits provided to partners or to families are paid for by the individual primarily. So we're not extending that. For the most part, everything else that is possible under our system of benefits would be extended to the same-sex domestic partner.
How are we defining domestic partners? Is this homosexual or heterosexual people?
Well, right now we're defining it as same-sex domestic partners that meet certain criteria. And those criteria are basically engaged in a committed relationship, intend to remain together permanently, unable to marry each other under Illinois law, at least 18 years of age, jointly responsible to each other for necessities of life, which is something we found common in these declarations elsewhere in the United States, not related by blood, must be cohabitating, neither has another domestic partner, neither partners are legally married, and neither claims one or the other as a dependent for federal income tax purposes. And we did a considerable amount of research in conjunction with some council members as we looked at this to see what was out there. And council members have helped us in terms of particularly Ruth Wyman in trying to figure out how we can do this and what the standard is out there in terms of these types of declarations. And so that's where we are, and that's how it works.
Mm-hmm. How controversial is this, and kind of why this bill, why now? What was the motivation?
Well, I don't frankly think it's controversial at this point. I think that we've tried to be a progressive and good employer at the City of Urbana. We work closely with our council members in trying to develop the policy for the City of Urbana. And I think that from an employment and personnel point of view, as we look at our competitive position with the rest of those that we compete with for employees, that this was something that we needed to do.
What city employees benefit?
Well, the city employees that would benefit in terms of this proposal is the policy and the bereavement leave ordinance apply at this juncture strictly to non-union employees and management. However, we will make this available and we'll discuss this with our unions to determine if they want to sign up for this benefit.
Why is there the difference in union and non-union employee access to this ordinance?
Because as management, we cannot determine what union employee benefits are without negotiating those those. We cannot substitute ourselves for the leadership of the union. So, you know, this is something they'll have to look at, and we will not impose it unilaterally. And if they want to request it, then we'll probably agree to it.
So you're saying that this domestic partner benefit ordinance provides for sick leave, family leave, bereavement leave, and the ability to designate a beneficiary upon death. What does the ordinance not provide for?
What's not addressed here, because it's a financial issue and really is almost not applicable, because one spouse pays for family coverage anyway. It's something that's paid out of one's own pocket, is health care. So we're not addressing health care because it's something that is currently not provided citywide.
When you compare Urbana's human rights ordinance that says it is illegal to discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation to this ordinance, how does this compare?
Well, our review of the HR ordinance is that this policy that we have and that is proposed before the council and that the council members generally support is consistent with the, the philosophy that's behind the HR ordinance. I don't think it addresses specifically what we're doing, but we think that it's generally consistent with the intent and the philosophy of the HR ordinance.
And are there any plans on the table at this time to add to this ordinance in the future?
No, not at this time. We're trying to focus on sort of a narrow application where we're trying to match that's provided for in under state law with a spousal relationship. So, and again, the medical side of this is a different story altogether. So I think we've covered everything.
Bruce Walden, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Ruth Ryman, your city council member and the person who helped initiate this legislation with Bruce Walden, can you give us some background of what your inspiration or motivation was to initiate this ordinance for domestic partner benefits?
Well, this issue is something that constituents and people actually outside of the ward have talked with me about for quite some time, and I've also talked with the alderwoman who had my seat before me, and she was also very interested and had lots of communication from constituents and other people in the community and throughout the country regarding domestic partner benefits. And so I thought, this is an issue that I'd like to see the city start to deal with and start to address. It also happened that in one of my law school classes, one of the papers that I did was in researching and doing a paper on domestic partner benefits. And so I was able to gather a lot of information, both legal and just general facts and other information about private and public employers who offer domestic partner benefits, what the legal cases have been, what the challenges have been, what the opportunities have been, and how it's really grown since it first started, I think, in 1985.
Well, that was one of my questions, sort of on a historic continuum. Where are we in providing domestic partner benefits? Say, where does the city of Urbana fall in the state of Illinois? I mean, is it sort of this very progressive at this time? Are we at the forefront, or is this something that's popping up all over the state?
I think that we are at the forefront in Illinois, at least in downstate Illinois, but I think it's something we're going to see a lot of forward momentum, not only in our community, hopefully, but around the state and around the Midwest. In Illinois, there is the city of Chicago, the village of Oak Park, I believe, and Cook County, who provide domestic partner benefits. I believe at least in Chicago and Oak Park, that they provide only same-sex domestic partner benefits. So Urbana is the first downstate city that will start to address this. I believe in Oak Park and in the city of Chicago and in Cook County, they also provide health care benefits for domestic partner for domestic partners of city employees. And that Urbana is not yet taking action on because of information we've received from the two HMOs that provide health care for the city employees, which say they don't provide domestic partner healthcare for domestic partners. So, but we're really moving ahead. I think there's other action that kind of correlates with this. One is that I read recently in the News Gazette that the city of Urbana or the Urbana Park District has changed its definition of family as far as entrance into the swimming pool, the public swimming pool, and that sort of thing. So I think that's recognizing that there are different, that families are made up not just of a man and a woman and children, but various households, and that we ought to recognize that and provide those opportunities equally.
So this is sort of a sociological phenomenon in our lifetime that we're changing the definition of family and we're changing the definition of who can receive benefits. But what is the controversy? I mean, if a person who was, say, anti-gay were to hear this, what would be the argument about why this is the right thing to do? I mean, outside of the fact that it is the right thing to do from a moral perspective, is there any sort of economic gain or a reason that it makes sense just in general?
Well, I think this makes sense not just morally and ethically, but when you're providing benefits to employees and their legally married spouse, the city is giving these benefits, and why should they be kept away from an employee who cares just as much or more about their partner, but their partner happens to be of the same sex, and so even though they love their partner just as much, they don't get those same rights or benefits because the state keeps that right of being married, legally married, from them.
Didn't the University of Illinois also recently put forward domestic partner benefits for their employees?
That's my understanding, and that the University of Illinois has also worked, is also trying to catch up with, as far as a competitive basis, I think with other universities around the state, Big Ten universities. I think that the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign is perhaps the only Big Ten university to not offer domestic partner benefits, or if not the only one, one of only a couple. And so it really also goes into a competitiveness issue.
What is your personal reaction to the passing of this ordinance? I imagine that you must feel a lot of satisfaction about seeing this through.
Certainly, I'm very happy to see this through. I think that this provides wonderful opportunities. When the city is involved, when it's the city or the taxpayer, the government's money, and we're doing this, it provides extra opportunities, extra ways to start to not only be a model for other private and public entities, but to really take a good step forward. And I think that's one thing that we're doing, and I hope that we can continue to move forward. This isn't a final step. This is a first step. Mm-hmm. And I think this will be could have some positive effects and really create some momentum to move forward for our community, both in the public and private sector.
Ruth Wyman, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Danielle Chenoweth, City Council Member of Urbana, is going to give her brief commentary on the passage of the Domestic Partner Benefit Ordinance.
I am just thrilled that we're passing this legislation. This makes us one step closer to becoming a fair, progressive model city. Much of the thanks for this partial domestic partner benefits program goes to Councilmember Ruth Wyman. She's really been the workhorse on this issue. I think that we can celebrate what's going on currently, and we should also take a look at kind of the future. And we have a human rights ordinance that says that it is illegal in Urbana for employers to discriminate based on sexual orientation or marital status. And that discrimination includes compensation or conditions or terms of employment, as well as employment generally. And so one would think from reading our human rights ordinance that actually domestic partner benefits would be mandated to all employers. Well, there isn't legal precedent for that. In fact, there's no city in the country that mandates that its employers provide domestic partner benefits. The San Francisco, I think, is one of the closest, and what they offer is that if you do business with the city, you must provide domestic partner benefits. In San Francisco, that's quite significant because the city owns the airport, and so every airline that comes into San Francisco must provide domestic partner benefits for all of its employees across the nation or the world. But I believe that the spirit and actually the writing of our human rights, the language of our human rights ordinance, could be interpreted as saying that domestic partner benefits must be offered to employees in same-sex relationships. And I would like to see some legal precedent for that in the future, because I believe that's the spirit of our law. Another next step is to add health insurance, and I want to explain this piece. Currently, the city of Urbana does not pay for the insurance premiums of dependents or spouses, and therefore providing health insurance to domestic partners is it's very small at this point. But the issue is, if we were to, and I would hope to see us in the future provide a better health insurance package to our employees, that domestic partners would be part of that. So I think that we need to work towards that, and we are doing some investigation with Health Alliance, which has said that it will make an exception, and or it will, when requested, Health Alliance will provide domestic partner benefits, and that's one of the insurers at the city. The last thing I think we could see in the future, and I'd like to work for, is a domestic partner registry. That way, domestic partners in Urbana, and we could decide if this is same-sex or opposite-sex domestic partners, could have some piece of paper that shows that they have a domestic partnership, and they could use that if their employers provided domestic partner benefits, etc., maybe to make a claim in a hospital that they should be able to have access to their dying loved one who's not actually a family member, etc. So these are some of the things we can see in the future, but this is a really significant first step. We're the only downstate city that will have this. I think, unfortunately, I would like to see other cities follow in our footsteps in the future, and I think we need to broadcast the success far and wide.
The final vote for the Domestic Partner Benefit Ordinance will be Tuesday, January 20th at 7:30 p.m. at the Urbana City Building at 400 South Vine Street. For IMC Radio News, this is Undine Gross.
That wraps up IMC Radio News for this week. Contributors included Ondine Gross, Sandra Otten, and Danielle Chinoweth. If you'd like to get involved with the show, please drop us a line at radio@ucimc.org, call 344-8820 extension 1, or drop by our weekly meeting held every Tuesday from 5:30 until 6:30 at the IMC, 218 West Main Street in downtown Urbana. No experience is necessary, and everyone is invited. Take care, and see you next week.